Okay, I think they got it. Okay. Can you tell we're all professional and organized this morning? It's good. Usually what I have comes from struggles I've had. Places I've been on my journey as a Christian. And each and every one of us is on that journey. We all have a journey with Jesus Christ. Mine, for a long time, after becoming a Christian, I had trouble forgiving myself. And I struggled with that. Because if you look at the Ten Commandments, I not only broke most of them, I crushed them. And I was trying to live under something that was condemning me. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to take a journey from condemnation to grace. What a ride it's been for me. So we're going to start this out in Exodus, if you have your Bibles. Exodus 18, verse 9. And to bring you up on all of this, I ask if you want to read it, the whole chapter, maybe the two or three there, and there's a big thing happens there. Big thing. I'll kind of summarize the chapter for you a little bit. Moses and the Israelites been brought out of Egypt. Went through the Red Sea. Now, they're camped in the desert of Sinai. Sitting at the base of Mount Sinai, which, as a lot of you know, ended up being the Holy Mountain. So here they are, camped out. Moses brings them the word from God. And here's what they say in verse 8. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." Boy, that was big words, wasn't it? So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. And then it starts to fly. Because he tells Moses, "Wash them people up. They're dirty. Wash them twice." Because from this point on, if you even touch the base of that mountain, you're going to die. And if you do this, you're going to die. If both of y'all do this, you're both going to die. So he spends the rest of that chapter in 19 letting them have it. But then in chapter 20, he immediately starts establishing the law, which was perfect, which was good. Too good for mankind. So they continuously failed, and they continuously failed, and they failed, and they failed. And it all comes back to those three words that they told him. "We will do." And God said, "Not without me. You're not good enough. You're not enough to do what I've brought you to do." that staggered me. And that's what made God mad when they said they would do it on their own self-effort. They can't. They're not enough. So then on, if you keep reading on in Exodus there, he sets up the system of offering, sacrifice. If you sin, the head priest would come in once a year and give your sacrifice for the sins you had done. But the problem was, the sacrifice was good and covered their sin. But 15 minutes later, they sinned again. So now, not only are they under the condemnation of these words, the law, now they have to deal with sin. I'm not enough. I sinned. I failed. I'm condemned. All of the things that we try to look at in this, one, I had a lot of fear. Something I never showed, but I had a lot of fears. And if I battle with those fears, it ends up under the law that I'm not enough. So then those fears turn to anxieties. And the anxieties turn to depression. Because I'm not enough. When you tackle the base of fear, which is condemnation of the law, you're going to struggle. So when I seen, I'm not the only one, I've heard even in here in this church, well, I'm going to live by the Ten Commandments. Jesus will love that. And as I said, it's good, it's perfect. But it was too much for fallen man. And they struggled with it. It was no good. You couldn't do it. What the law did was bring, you need a Savior. You can't do it. Not on your own effort. You have to have God in your life. Like I say, I struggled with that for many years. The word condemnation, and sometimes I have trouble saying that, so if I say it wrong, you can laugh at me later. I looked in the dictionary, and it says, an expression of very strong disapproval. It's associated with judgment, the act of condemning to a punishment. And what that all really is saying is, you're not enough. You're not enough. And it's so easy when we try to follow that. When we come to church, well, I haven't kept that law, and I haven't kept that law. Or you might be saying, well, hey, I kept them all. Don't lie to yourself. Because the Bible says in the book of James, if you want to live by the law, if you fail in one, you failed them all. If you told a lie this week, you're guilty of murder under the law. Wow, huh? So, that's the base of what I was wanting to put out today. Because now, as we looked at condemnation, I want to look at grace. And when I started looking at this grace, it's a beautiful thing. It's by the grace of God I stand up here. He allows me to bring the gospel of grace to you. So I have a few scriptures to bring us there. John chapter 3 and 16. I was going with 17, but let's leave 16 in there just to kind of pull it all together. I'm glad I made that mistake. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we've been studying the book of John in our Sunday school class, and it's been awesome. It's been great. But as we look here, 16, you're all familiar with. For God so loved the world, his motivation was love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, what is it? We won't perish. Let's back up to that word believe. We can't keep saying, I believe. I believe when you're not totally dependent upon God. I'm dependent upon God. Just like Abraham. He believed that God was going to give him a son. And in that, I think, the dude's 100 years old. And his wife's in her 90s. He totally depended on God to bring him a child. He couldn't do that on his own. Well, if he could, he'd... No, pray for me here, wait a minute. Back that up. Before I get in trouble. He totally depended on God, which means he believed. If we believe, we're totally dependent upon God. But whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Have eternal life. And some of you may say, when do I have eternal life? When I die? No. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Eternal life is not a time. Eternal life is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? So no matter what we go through on this earth, we're guaranteed eternal life. Jesus. So here's where we want to go in 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus came. He says, I know you're not enough, but I am. Trust in me. Believe in me. I'm your Savior. That's what he's saving us from, ourselves. I needed saved from myself. What else I got up here? 18, I'll go ahead and put that up. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And remember, we can't keep saying, I believe. Let's change that. I depend. I depend. I depend on God when I'm in lack. I depend on God when I'm sick. I depend on God when I'm acting stupid. And usually the victory over that, if you say those things, I depend on God because I'm not enough. Not on my own. With Jesus, I'm a child of God. Isn't that amazing? We're children of God. We are children of God. Thank you. I'm glad somebody heard me. Y'all quiet. So that's kind of all the base, I say, like I say, that I have down. So we're going to move on and we're going to see a story out of the book of Luke 19. 1 through 10. It shows us the difference, and as Jesus always gives us an example of, we'll see the difference here in this of the condemnation of the Pharisees and the grace of Jesus Christ. It says, Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and wealthy. He wanted to... Have I got more? I should have more. Thank you. Who wanted... No, I lost it. But because he was short and he couldn't see over the crowd... We already know he's got a problem. He's rich and he's short. He's got an attitude. So he ran up ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree, fig tree, to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way, Jesus reached that spot. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus. You imagine what that did to Zacchaeus? Jesus knew my name. He called me by my name. But then think. He called me by my name. But I've been cheating these people. He called me by my name. I've been taking advantage of these people. But he called me by my name. I must, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. So he came down quick. He probably just jumped right out of that tree. And at once he welcomed him gladly. But here we go again. All the people. Uh-oh. A lot of us try to please all the people. And sometimes we can't please God when we're trying to please people. But all the people muttered. That means, I think, how come Jesus didn't call me by my name? I pray every day. I fast. I do this. Why ain't he calling me by my name? When he called me, you just said, hey, you, come over here. Why does he know their name, his name? Why is he going to eat with sinners? He's a tax collector. Jesus would condemn him. But Jesus, again, never said a word. He never once brought up what Zacchaeus was doing. He's just sitting around, eating lunch. Hanging out, calling Zacchaeus by his name. And look what happened. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I cheat anybody," he's a tax collector. We know he cheated. Why'd they put that "if" in there for? We know he cheated. "I will give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Like again, I said again, he never once said anything about what Zacchaeus was doing. They showed him compassion. How many know you can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar? We so often condemn. And even today, I can stand up here, "You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You keep doing this, you're going to hell. You're just going to quit coming." So the transformation came to Zacchaeus because Jesus didn't condemn him. Showed him love, showed him compassion. And the transformation come into that man by one lunch in the grace of Jesus Christ. Changed him forever. And that happens time after time if we don't try to condemn. Even with our kids, we try to use by reverse psychology, which is still condemning. "You're no good. You act like you're no good, Daddy. You ain't never going to be nothing." If you say things like that to a kid, that's condemning him. And there's something powerful about that because it usually ends up happening. But Jesus didn't do that. He showed him love that changed his life. So here's what he says in verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." And I had to think about that for a minute because Jesus hadn't died yet. There ain't no Christians yet. He hadn't died. Salvation hadn't come to nobody. But it did to him. So I'm going to call that unless anybody can prove me wrong. He was the first Christian, saved by grace. "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Save you from not being enough. Save from all your guilt. Save from condemnation. So that then brings us to we don't have now the ministry of Moses, which was condemning. But we're all messengers of reconciliation. We've all been called to minister reconciliation. Second Corinthians 5:18 and 19. So if I come up, my brother Mark there, and say, "Hey, Minister Mark, how you doing today?" He's going to say, "I ain't no preacher." And I didn't say that. I said he was a minister. You know what a minister means? It's not a fancy title for a guy that stands up here and preaches. It's a servant. We're all called to serve. Each and every one of you who believe in Jesus Christ. I didn't add a scripture in there, but I want to do it, so I want to read it to you. I want to start at 17 instead of 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God would reconcile the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And I know somebody's thinking, "Well, if he ain't counting my sins against me, I might as well go ahead and sin." You don't know Jesus. And I don't think you believe if you say that. But it says it no longer counts our sins against us. I'm glad to hear that. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. People see it in you. They know it. They know, or should know, there's been something a little bit different about us than there are the people of the world. And I'll show you some of the reasons why. As we go to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I hope I got this right too. Hey. He has made us contempt as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, which is talking about the Ten Commandments, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That letter that kills, self-motivation. Self-effort. I can do this on my own. It doesn't work that way. If we back up just a little bit to verse 2 of chapter 3. No. We don't have 2 Corinthians 3 verse 2 through 2 and 3. Okay, here we are. Everybody listen up here. Listen what this says. You yourself are our letter, written on your heart, known and read by everyone. We're the letter. You're going to go out of these walls. You're not going to see a lot of people reading the Word of God. But when they see you, you're the letter. You're the representative of Christ. Do we fail at this? Yes. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. And you think I might just be up here preaching this morning. And I am. But what I'm preaching is the gospel of grace. And when you hear the gospel of grace, God's writing it on your heart. You're getting wrote on this morning. We're getting, wrote on. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are content, I can't say that word either, in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us confident as ministers of the new covenant. Ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills. Self-motivated. It's all about me. It's all about that with the Ten Commandments. It was up to me. If I do this, if I do that, if I don't do that, it was all me. It's all me. And I first hear a while back, somebody asked me to pray for their wife. She was sick. And I prayed. And as weeks went by, it just kept getting worse. I said, what am I doing wrong? Do I need to pray 3 hours a day for 30 days? Do I need to get a prayer cloth, a prayer shawl? What am I doing wrong? What's going on? I've done everything I know to do. And she died. And that slapped me down. So I started looking. I'm missing something. And then it comes to the word grace. So I went and I looked up every scripture in the New Testament that had the word grace. Then I seen in those scriptures, in John it says, Jesus is full of grace and truth. And I thought those were two different things. And Jesus is love. So I replaced grace with love. And I replaced love with Jesus. And they're all the same thing. But in that, Jesus showed me. And I realized when I was trying to do all those things myself, Jesus already done it. But he continued to work on me. He started moving my furniture around. You know, like crying in front of people. I never done that. A young girl here in the service last week, when she found out I was going to preach, she said, You're not going to cry again, are you? Yeah, probably. Probably so. But that was hard to take from a little girl. But yeah, because the Holy Spirit makes me cry. And I'm so glad that it does. Because I lived my whole life, my parents couldn't make me cry. Nobody could make me cry because I was too tough for that. But when the grace of God come on my life, He changed things in me. And He will you too if you let Him. And I'm glad I can cry. Okay, I wandered off there. The letter it kills, performance, self-effort. So what God was saying, though, is that I was trying to be like God without God. That I could still do it on my own. And that was one of the toughest struggles for me because I've been out on my own since I was 16 years old. And I knew nothing else. But if I didn't do it, I didn't get it. So this has been the biggest challenge for me, is to let God take control of the situations that's in our life and trust no matter what happens. I got to trust in Him. Because He says, I have a place for you. Trust in me. All you who are heavy, laden, burdened, come. And what a miraculous ride that it's been. Yeah, I've seen ups and downs. But I just keep going like that. Because He's my Savior. He's the Lord of my life. I'm not enough on my own. I need Him every day. I'm going to get back on track. Where are we at? Oh, okay, 7:3, 7 through 11. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in the letter of the stone, came to glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. Will not the ministers of the Spirit be even more glorious? We have something those people before didn't have. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit living inside of us. They didn't have that. They had the law. Which only proved that they were no good. If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was came with glory, how much? No. is up there. How much greater is the glory that lasts forever? They had something good. We have something better. And that better is Jesus. What an awesome thing. We're a special people. Turn with me to Romans 7, 6 to 11. Well, but now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? No, I told you it was perfect. It showed the character of the God we serve. Certainly not. And nevertheless, I would not have what? No. We got on to 8. Thank you. Sin was had it not been for the law. If it hadn't been for the law, you wouldn't be breaking no law because there ain't no law. That's pretty simple. Nobody sinned. Well, until they said they could do it on their own. Nobody sinned because there was no law. So it's pretty hard. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive, apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang into my life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And though the commandment And through the commandments, put me to death. And that's what I was talking about. We have to live under grace. No way about it. Because we're not enough. You can't do things to please God. You can't say, well, if I do this, God's going to do that. And then when something good doesn't happen, we think automatically, what did I not do? And that's not the way it works. I have one more scripture because we're running out of time. The Apostle Paul never used condemning in his scriptures to anyone. It was always more like, don't you know? Don't you know who you are? Don't you know what I've done for you? It would be like in the case if somebody came to me in confidence and said, well, I've been sleeping around. And if I said, you're going to hell by 11:30, you're going for lunch. No. Look what this says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not of your own. Not condemning him, just reminding him who he was, who he is, who we are in Christ. That's what we have to look at. With all the things going on in this world, I could be wrong, but I think time's short. And there again, I'm not trying to scare you into anything. But I would hate to see you walk out these doors not enough. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe? And there again, there I'm going to transfer that word to you, depend on God. It's the key to happiness. It's the key to life. Think about it. I don't want you to walk out this door without your heart being in the right place this morning. I mean, you know I'm going to ask you to come down. Yeah, come on up. But you can do it right in your seat. It's not like the old way where we had to wait once a year for the priest to bring in a sacrifice. Where are you at this morning? Yeah, I'm moving stuff. Sorry. Where are you at? You might be thinking you're doing okay living under the law, but it brings death. Where Jesus brings you life and more abundantly. Listen to this song. This is the throne of grace. It transferred from Mount Sinai to a hill called Golgotha. He died for you, showing you love him.